implied warranty that the implied warranty of merchantability, and under the UCC, there's no specific duration on that. I really haven't thought about how the UCC duration, as far as the seller is concerned, where you have an implied warranty of merchantability, that's a seller's warranty under the UCC, which is a manufacturer's warranty under the Salm-Beverly Act. I haven't really thought about how that fits in as far as duration is concerned. That raises an interesting question. But yeah, it does apply to retailers. Yes?
I'd like to ask, under full and limited warranties on the disclosure, you said that no unreasonable duties could be charged. Now, does that include shipping? Is shipping an unreasonable, having the user have to ship it back to the manufacturer unreasonable?
Well, what you're getting into is a situation where if you have to ship the item back and you have to pay for the shipping, then you're in a situation where you have a limited warranty.
Okay.
So then you don't have that problem, because in a limited warranty, you can put unreasonable restraints on obtaining benefits. So to that extent, it doesn't make a difference whether it's reasonable or not, because you don't get to that, because if you have to pay for shipping, then you can't have a full warranty.
Okay.
Yes? The pre-sale availability rule?
Yeah. That applies to products sold at retail for $50 or more?
No. The pre-sale availability rule applies to products sold at retail for $15 or more. It's the repair facility requirements that is the $50 one. And the repair facility requirements is under the Salm-Beverly Act, which is only the California State Act. Yes?
How does a manufacturer limit the liability of the
What you can do is simply make a statement that the warranty does not cover any consequential damages. And if you make that statement clear enough, and it would have to be a little bit more wordy than that, I think, to make it perfectly clear, but you can do that and you can still have a full warranty. What you can't say is this warranty is the only warranty given, and any other express or implied warranty is null and void, because you just can't do that. Yes?
Getting back to the film one, Kodak said on there, the consumer is responsible to check the serviceability of the product before using it. If you read the wording of the film.
Well, how much does a roll of film cost? If it's under $15, then these requirements aren't going to apply. Well, that's a solution. Then it gets to the question of, is the warranty made on the individual product, or is the warranty made on the case of the product? And I don't have an answer for that. Yes?
In other words, it doesn't require you to have a warranty, but if it does, it sets down the range of the application of the warranty.
You don't have to have an express warranty. No, because there is an implied warranty which cannot be avoided. You can limit the duration of the implied warranty, but to do that, you have to have a written warranty.
Okay, now, how far can you limit?
How far can you limit the express or the implied or both?
Both.
Well, what you can do, in California, to limit the implied warranty as much as possible, you can give a 2-month limited written warranty, because the implied warranty has the same duration as the written warranty. And the minimum period for an implied warranty is 2 months. So if you give a limited express warranty, then your implied warranty is 2 months. And then in your limited warranty, you can state that you only cover very specific parts. You can state that you're limiting all consequential damages. You can state that the manufacturer, that the consumer has to pay for transportation, but then you get into the question of, well, if you're in Florida and you're selling the device in California and the consumer has to pay for transportation, well, what about the repair facility requirements? Then the consumer can bring it into an independent or to a retailer and get it fixed in California and not have to pay to send it back. So it's kind of an area where under the new legislation, there's really a very limited degree to which you can limit your warranty liability.
Okay, you're saying that the implied warranty runs for a minimum of 6 days?
Yes. If there is a written warranty of the same duration. If there is no written warranty, the implied warranty is a year.
The written warranty cannot be shorter.
The written warranty can be a month. But if the written warranty is a month, in California, the implied warranty is still 2 months.
Okay, but not a year.
Not a year, no.
Okay.
Any other questions? Yes?
What happens if they sell it as is?
If an item is sold as is, then there are no warranties whatsoever. Now, there is a statutory scheme for as-is sales, and there are certain things that you have to do in order to qualify a sale as an as-is sale. It's not very complicated, but and the most important point is that there is a full disclosure that it is an as-is sale. Yes?
What happens if the warranty says no warranty is being expressed or implied, blah, blah, blah?
That's void.
Yeah, but does that say that the warranty, the implied warranty is really 2 months?
Well, if the written warranty is 2 months, then what you have is a situation where the warranty fails to comply with the statutory requirements, whoever makes the warranty at some time in the future will be liable to being sued by the FTC or by the Attorney General, and probably it will be, I guess you can make the argument in that situation that because that little phrase is void, that the whole warranty is void and therefore there's a 1 year implied warranty. On the other hand, the argument is, well, only that phrase is void, and since it's a 2 month warranty express, it's a 2 month warranty implied. Those are arguments both sides. I don't know what's going to happen.
In any case, if you void the phrase, then the implied warranty is equal to the length of the express.
Right, right. And I'd just like to mention also that under the Somme-Beverly Act, as of at least a week ago, there haven't been any cases brought pursuant to that act. There are cases brought under the Uniform Commercial Code, but the Uniform Commercial Code mostly relates to sales between commercial sellers. And of course, in that situation, you're not going to have much case law relating to sales to consumers because consumers didn't have virtually any rights under the UCC, and there weren't very many suits brought by consumers. Yes?
Does the end manufacturer have to assume the liability for the products used within the device that they pass it on? For example,
Well, I don't like that example because there you get into products liability and a computer isn't going to blow your arm off, at least not theoretically, whereas a tire might. Okay, if you're saying if there's a chip used in a board, can the board manufacturer throw back onto the chip manufacturer liability? I think the answer is no. Now, what the board manufacturer can do is say, you sold me 1,000 chips and 500 were bad. So you breached, there's an implied warranty that arises as between commercial purchasers, and that's covered by the Uniform Commercial Code. And to the extent that the board manufacturer had damages because he was sued or because he had to incur costs for getting the boards back and replacing the bad parts, then that could be shifted back. But as far as the repair requirements are concerned, the answer is no. Yes?
Does the implied warranty have to do with the usability of the tenants, or is there something else implied?
Well, there are two implied warranties. One's merchantability, and the other is fitness for a particular purpose.
So they can limit the fitness by stating the purpose?
Yes.
And the merchantability is?
Merchantability is that an item is free from defects in materials or workmanship.
Oh.
Yes?
You don't limit the purpose, but sometimes it's probably quite obvious. Can then the consumer try to invent some far out new application that corrects the device within the warranty period and say, well, the purpose of this thing was my application, although it never was used before for that application.
Okay, well, as far as implied warranties of fitness for a particular purpose are concerned, the manufacturer has to know of the purpose.
Yeah.
And the question is, what happens if somebody decides to use an application or use a device in an application that's never been used before, and in using it in that application, it blows the device during the warranty period? Well, in order to have an implied warranty of fitness for a particular purpose, the manufacturer or the retailer has to know of that the device is being acquired for a particular purpose, and that you're relying on his judgment in providing that particular device. Now, those two things, as I indicated before, can be implied from advertisements or from common usage, but I don't think it applies to uncommon usage.
Does that mean that when the guy buys the device, he has to fill out a questionnaire and say, I'm going to be using it for this?
No, but if you're thinking of using a device in an unusual application, which may destroy the device because of the nature of that application, then you should indicate when you buy the thing, if you're talking about a very expensive item, to the manufacturer that this is what you want to use it for, and will he recommend that you buy his product?
Then the burden of proof in an
ensuing
suit would be on the consumer.
If you're talking about an unusual application, I would say that the burden of proof would be on the consumer. Yes?
Going back to the repairability requirements, if the manufacturer is manufacturing this item out of state and he sells it in state, is there any way that he can limit the repair facility requirement or just require that the user return it to him and avoid the repair facility requirement?
The question basically is, how can an out-of-state manufacturer avoid the repair facility requirement? And the answer is that he can't. He either has to have his own repair facilities in the state, or he can contract with an independent, or he can contract with his retailer. And there are requirements regarding those contracts. For instance, those contracts at any one time cannot be made for more than 1 year. And there's also some requirements in the statutes regarding fixing prices between the manufacturer and the repairer vis-a-vis warranty repairs. But I don't want to get into those details. Yes?
What about if you have a piece of hardware and you're modifying it, certainly you avoid the warranty, but what about the manufacturer who uses the repair if you want to send it back?
Well, I would think that where you have a piece of hardware that you modify, it does void the warranty. And if you want to get it repaired and the manufacturer is willing to repair it, then that's building goodwill for the manufacturer. But there's certainly no requirement that the manufacturer do it. And most manufacturers and warranties that I've seen have said that any modifications void this warranty and we're not going to be bothered with it after you do that. I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said. Yeah. Yes?
If I ship a radio jack 3 days later, I put in the system 3 days later, it goes bad. Now, I don't know whether I did something silly or whether the components failed. Then they won't take parts back with itself.
Well, that leads into the IDSM kind of situation where you have a component and you put it in a device and it doesn't work and you don't know whether it's because of your own application or because of a defect in the chip. If they don't take it back and you vehemently believe that it was a defective product, and if it's a product that sells for enough to make it worth your while, you can bring a small claims action and maybe they'll settle it.
Do I get the right?
Well, you've got the burden of proof. And in that respect, it can be a tough burden to prove because it's going to take some expensive... Excuse me?
If I tell them the application.
Well, if you tell them the application that you're using it, you have that implied warranty of fitness for a particular purpose arise. But if you get into a situation where you don't know whether the chip is defective or whether you blew it out yourself, you know, that doesn't do you much good. And I don't even know whether, in fact, once a chip does become defective, whether you can tell whether it was because of your application or not. I don't know the answer to that question. Perhaps in some cases you can. Yeah. Yeah. Yes?
Do you know anything about these new bombs that they're coming out with supposed to process to protect your proprietary information?
I'm an appliance operator. I don't know about that stuff. I consider myself to be I just graduated myself from beginner to a novice as far as computers are concerned. But I'm working on it. Maybe by the time I get to be an intermediate, I'd be able to answer that. Anything else? Yes?
Software.
The question is, regarding software, what are the manufacturer's liabilities? And I think that the manufacturer's liabilities are pretty much the same, except that your defect in materials would be the defect in whether the program runs or not.
It seems to me that software is a fairly nebulous area. The manufacturer says, I got a disk operating system. Well, a disk operating system means that this operating system knows what a disk is, but it seems that beyond being able to access that disk, there's not much you can hold the manufacturer to, and it's very difficult to tell what the implied warranties of a disk operating system are. Is that disk operating system, can it be expected to do the same thing as one of the maxi system disk operating systems? Is that implied, and how do you tell what is implied in that disk operating system?
Specifically answering your question, it gets a little technical for me. But as just generally applying to software, I think that warranty legislation does apply to software in the same way it applies to hardware. The question is, how do you prove that, you know, the software doesn't do what the manufacturer says? And then you get in that problem. Well, I noticed that the next speaker is here, and I don't want to cut into his time. So thank you very much. And if you have any questions, you can catch me in the hall.